Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We hope to bring you more and more interesting topics each and every show. We are broadcasting from 101.5 FM WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Our guest today is Philip Adams, the Public Life Safety Educator for the Huntley Fire Protection District. Phil, welcome to Around Town.
Hey, good morning. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's that time of the year when everybody is in a Christmas mood and holiday mood and doing all kinds of things inside and outside. So I guess we should start with some of the winter safety things. Like, let's start with carbon monoxide.
Oh, yes. You know, great topic here, something we see on a routine basis. So for you guys who may not know, CO is a colorless, odorless gas. It's a byproduct of incomplete combustion. Coming from a gas-applied appliance, so it's really important that you do maintain your home, get your furnace serviced. Make sure you have that detector. You should have a detector within 15 feet of any sleeping area in the home. Because you can't see it, you can't taste it, but you can definitely feel the effects of it. So much so that we've even had our own crews affected by a CO incident before. You know, so often we go into a residence, we had crews in, had police there, sick person down, and then all of a sudden the police officer's not feeling well. All of a sudden our own guys are not feeling well. Well, come to find out, at the time there was a vehicle running in the garage with the garage door down. All those fumes came back into the residence and affected everyone in the home. So since that day, we have put a CO meter on our first in bag. So every medical call that we go into, we our two selves monitor the environment we're in to make sure.
Phil, is there a specific detector you would recommend?
Get one that has a digital readout. It'll actually tell you how many parts per million is in the air. There's several different manufacturers that make them. And that way you can get an indicator of how much visually is in the air. And then it gives us a value to see and compare our detector to as well.
Now, what about homes? What are they required to have?
So your home is required to have one within 15 feet of a sleeping area. Your home also is required to have a smoke detector as well. And we talk later on the show about the new law that just passed as well.
The you want to touch a little bit winter safety travel too, Phil?
You know, be prepared. You know, watch that weather report. Make sure you have your cell phone, have your charger, extra layers. You know, have the gloves, the blankets, snow brush. Have some water, have some food. Make sure that in the event that you do get stuck on the roadway, that you can survive. Intermittent heating, too, with your vehicle. You know, you don't necessarily want to leave the car running the entire time because you may not know how long you'll be there, depending if it's not a well-traveled road or you're going to be there for an extended amount of time. Try and extend the life of that fuel you have because that's important. And coming back to CO, if you're stuck in a ditch or something, you know, shovel out that tailpipe so you can make sure that exhaust is getting away from your vehicle and not getting trapped in the snow and coming back into the vehicle around you.
So the intermittent time with your car running, would you say every 15 minutes, 20 minutes you shut it off? Or
you know, just as needed. You know, as it cools down, as you're feeling yourself getting cold, all right, start it back up. You know, let it run for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, get warmed up. Once you're warmed up again, go ahead and shut it back off. And just try and conserve that. And try and conserve that fuel until you get some help. And again, as long as you know when the help is coming, if you got a hold of that tow service or someone coming, just help you plan that better.
So how should you be prepared, Phil, for winter travel?
Again, you know, watch that weather report. Have all those items in your car. Keep the gas tank full. You know, don't, you know, you get under a half tank, you know what? Start looking for that gas station. Make sure that you do have plenty of fuel. Just if it feels like the conditions are too bad, just stay home. You know, maybe the best thing to do is just delay your travel until things, weather has passed through and the roads are clear again, and then go back to your activities.
So you're talking like extra clothes, gloves, blankets, snow brush, mm-hmm. scraper,
yep.
Even some food, water, jumper cables, shovel, those types of things. Yeah. Have those available for winter travel.
Exactly. Have that in your car.
Yep. Okay. The And let's talk a little bit about fire safety, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that goes, I know you talked about smoke detectors. How about like batteries for smoke detectors? What's the routine for that, for changing batteries?
Well, you change every time you change the clocks, you would change your batteries. So here currently effective January 1, 2023 here, new smoke detector law is going into effect. So since 1988, all dwellings have been required to have a working smoke alarm. So now, come January 1, any new smoke alarm being installed in a single-family or multifamily dwelling is going to come with a sealed 10-year battery. So no more getting up on the ladder and switching those out. It'll have a 10-year lifespan battery, of which a smoke detector has a lifespan of 10 years. So that's the transition, is trying to have that detector that requires less maintenance, longer working.
Now, can you change out your current smoke detectors to the new 10-year type?
You can, but you'll wait till you've reached the lifespan of your current detector. So that's okay. Just let that, as long as it's continuing to function properly and not having any false activations or just not working at all. But just as they reach their end, you're going to be replacing it with a 10-year battery. Well, and that can be integrated with your hardwired system as well.
Right. But now the average person, if they're not sure what the lifespan of that detector is, what would they do? In other words, they might say, gee, I bought this, but I'm not sure. I got 3 years now, 5 years. What's the best way to go?
There's a label. There's a sticker on your detector. So you'd have to pull that down, and it'll say the date of manufacture on it. And so we pull down a lot of old detectors. We see a lot of detectors from the early 2000s still in a lot of homes out here. So please take a look. And we do come out, and we'll assist with changing batteries for residents as well. So.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. You can call our non-emergency number, and we'll come out and help you. Obviously, you know, we don't want our residents falling from a ladder or,
right.
You know, that are, you know, have, are not physically able. The last thing we want to do is get them injured. But we do not install any, but we will help with that. And obviously now with this new law, you know, over time, you know, when you got to replace it every 10 years, it's makes it a lot easier on everyone involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how about if there is a fire, some things you should do in your home, Phil?
You know, practice your fire drill with your family. You know, that's really really important to make sure that you as a family know your exit plan. Make sure you have that meeting place and that you don't leave that meeting place. So when we come on the fire apparatus, that we can make contact with you and verify everyone is out, or if we need to search a specific area of the house, we know where to start first.
And some of the things you'd recommend doing was closing the door so the fire doesn't spread, things like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing what a closed door can do to help the spread of limit that spread of smoke and fire. The first thing that's going to get you is the smoke. And think about a sleep door versus an open door. You're talking about CO readings that can go with an open door up to as high as 10,000 with a closed door, 1,000 parts per million. So. Very significant amount difference. Talking about a closed door can live with the spread of fire heat. So going from 1,000 degrees with an open door to 100 degrees with a closed door. So having that protection is going to buy you precious minutes. If you're on a second floor, keep that bedroom door closed. Signal us from your window, and we can get a ladder thrown up to that window and help for that evacuation. So.
Okay. You know, we should talk about your role with the district and let the folks know what exactly your role is, Phil, and what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm taking over public education for the district, so the new public life safety educator. So I go out to the schools, you know, as little as going out to preschool age kids, kindergarten, first grade, all the way up, working on some new middle school programs as well. You know, community engagement, outreach. You know, I do this actually on my off days because I do work shift. I got off work this morning at 7 a.m. and then started working on some public education activities. So, Keeps me quite busy.
Well, we want you to come in and make a celebrity out of you. So
right.
This way all the guys in the department will be jealous.
That's right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay, and how about the Huntley Fire District? How does that work, the district overall, as far as the taxing body?
Yeah, so we're a protection district, so we are going to appear on your tax bill. We're not affiliated with the Village of Huntley government. We're a separate entity. That's why we tax separately. We have a board of trustees. We have a board of fire commissioners. We have 5 fire stations, 21 staff per day. So we operate that with 3 engines, 1 truck, 3 ambulances, 1 quick response vehicle, and a battalion chief. We cover approximately 55 square miles, about 55,000 residents, and right now we're on track to hit probably just shy of 7,000 calls for the year.
That's quite an area to cover, 55 square miles. That's encompasses quite a large district.
Yeah, so we cover parts of Lake in the Hills, Algonquin, unincorporated Kane and McHenry County, parts of Hampshire, Gilberts, Union, Marengo. We cover I-90 from Randall Road out to Route 20. We have a lot of unincorporated rural areas up north of town. So we have to be diverse setup. You know, so we have we're set up for rural operations as well as the hydrogen area. So we do have a tender, 3,000 gallon tender as well. So we can be prepared for those rural fires that we do get.
Right.
We do also have a brush truck as well. We usually get the field fires and such. So we're prepared for all different types of firefighting activity.
And as far as the stations, where are the stations all located, Phil?
So Station 1 is our headquarters station, which is right there at Main and Ruth. There you're going to find all the administration for the district. So we'll have our fire chief. We have 2 deputy chiefs. We have a deputy chief of administration and 1 of operations. We have our battalion chief. Our battalion chief is the highest rank on shift. So he's responsible for the 5 station operation for the day. Our fire marshal is there, our director of EMS, our training officer, and our director of mobile integrated health. Station 2 is going to be located off of Halagus and Reed, which is where I work out of. Station 3 is down here on Regency Parkway. Station 4 over off Algonquin and Square Barn, and Station 5 is on the south end of Del Webb off Jim Dahmer. You can see that from 90.
You know, so people aren't confused. You talk about a chief, deputy chief, battalion chief. Can you explain what those levels are? Like you have the chief, battalion chief, what the differences are?
Yeah, so fire chief, he's responsible for our future. You know, he's the one who is got the big plan for preserving the future, looking at their growing population. They're constantly, he's working with his 2 deputy chiefs, constantly looking at our response times, looking at how we can provide the best level of service, where the future needs are, and how to plan for adequate staffing to meet those demands. He does a lot of behind-the-scenes things, constantly going to meetings with the Village of Huntley, with Lincoln Hills. Very good, strong working relationships with the villages, so we're abreast of what's going on, and can look for future growth. So the deputy chiefs, administration, constantly looking at policy review, hiring, looking at recruitment. Operations, just looking at that daily functioning of the 5 stations. Continue looking at the response times, making sure that we're hitting everything.
Just a reminder, folks, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we're talking to Phil Adams, the Public Life Safety Educator for the Huntley Fire District. Phil, so we cover that now. So what does the battalion chief do then?
Battalion chief, he's the highest rank on shift, so he also works a 24-hour schedule. The chief and 2 deputies will work a Monday through Friday, 7 to 4. So the battalion chief, he is responsible for the daily operations, incident scene management for the 5 stations. So he's out coordinating. We get a structure fire. He's the one who's ultimately going to be running that incident and responsible for the tactics and handling all the incoming units and giving them orders as to what's needed.
And then you have your fire marshal, which mm-hmm. His is this would his role be if there's a fire, investigating what caused
the
fire?
Yeah, so he's in charge of our investigations and prevention. He also is looking at the new buildings, making sure that they're being designed to meet the fire codes that we have here. So he's constantly looking at plan reviews for new businesses that are coming in, making sure that they have the proper suppression systems that we require here. So he's got a lot of new growth here in Huntley, so he stays quite busy with the new buildings going in.
And I see you mentioned here about Lieutenant Kelly. What's Lieutenant Kelly's role?
Yeah, Mobile Integrated Health. She has got a really innovative role here. We're actually one of a few departments in the state of Illinois that have a mobile integrated health officer. So she goes out and she identifies our super users. So the person that calls us multiple times per week, per month, every month, go out. How can we improve your life? You know, go out and meet with that resident and see what's going on. Are they having mobility issues? Are they needing more assistance than they can provide for themselves. So she can work with outside agencies, whether it be Senior Services, Meals on Wheels, Senior Care. She's also looking at their medication reviews, doing blood pressure, glucose checks, just trying to make the quality of life better. And the ultimate goal then is to work with have a partnership with the hospital and try and limit the returns back after being seen at the hospital. To make sure that you know, they can self-care, follow what they need, their discharge instructions, and not have to go back and be burdened with more returns to the hospital.
That's quite a one-person responsibility.
Yes. And so, you know, being out on shift, you know, we report back to her who we think are residents that are going to need her assistance.
Sure.
And it's amazing the number of residents that know Lieutenant Kelly. Oh, do you know Lieutenant Kelly? Oh, certainly do. You know, because she definitely is having that impact, and she's definitely has a large scope, and she's doing a great job of trying to improve the quality of life for our residents.
That's quite a task. That's a one person show.
Yeah, it's a group effort. So we all share a role in it, and we try and support her the best we can.
So let's talk a little bit about holiday safety, Phil, if you would, for the folks out there,
yes.
Okay?
Yeah, you know, cooking fires. You know, we see a lot of cooking fires, pan fires, you know, so fire needs oxygen to survive. You take away that oxygen, it's going to put that fire out. So you got a pan fire, you know, put that lid on it. If you don't have a lid available, you can use the baking sheet. Eliminate that oxygen, you're gonna put that fire out. Microwave fires, you know, if you can turn that off, a lot of times that'll help just by itself. Keep the door closed. No need to have any spread. Trying to keep it contained to the appliance.
But also, I'd like to mention too, the pan fires. People make a big mistake. They use water.
Yeah, don't put any water on. Yeah, no, you could really flare that up and really get into a larger problem. Definitely do not want to see that. The power of the lid or the baking sheet can go a long way.
Is there a fire extinguisher device that you'd recommend just in case they had a problem that was a little bit greater while they're waiting for the fire department to come, or is a minor thing saying, hey, I got an extinguisher I can use? Is that recommended?
You know, you should have an ABC extinguisher in your residence. But when you use the extinguisher, it's going to produce a lot of chemical agent, and it's going to disperse. It's going to make a big mess. Less messy is to just use that baking sheet or lid will help minimize just more cleanup on the back end.
And of course, then the next step is to call 911 while this is all going on.
You know what? Put that on there. Give us a call. You know, we're more than happy to come out. We have a thermal imaging camera too. We can check for any extension and to make sure there is no hidden danger that you can't see. You know, the microwave fire, you know, turn it off, keep the door closed. Oven fires, again, turn it off, keep it closed. It's amazing the number of people that will use an oven for storage. So we've had some oven fires where they may have a double oven, and they use one for storage and one for cooking. Well, then, you know, the holidays come around, and like,
sure.
Oh, you know, I got more stuff to do. I got main course. I got sides to do. they don't think about it. They fire up that second oven and preheat it, and before you know it, you got these melted plastic containers and stuff producing some nasty black smoke. Again, do not use it for a storage vessel. You know, it is a cooking appliance, try and have some forethought on that. But call 911. Let us come out. We're more than happy to come out. Check for an extension. Obviously, if there's an appliance involved, our fire marshal will track that. If there's a specific model or microwave or oven that's having a lot of issues, that all gets reported up, and nationwide, he can look at anything as well.
I think one of the big items, too, Phil, is people purchase live Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
You've got that problem that you have to be concerned about there.
Yeah. Oh, live Christmas trees are great, you know. When you get that tree home, cut at least 2 inches up from the bottom and keep that watered. You know, you're going to want to keep that that tree hydrated. You're going to want to keep it at least 3 feet away from all heat sources, registers, fireplaces, any portable heater you may have. Of course, you don't want to block an exit. You don't want to limit the ways in and out. You should always have at least 2 ways in and out of a room. When you're decorating that tree, putting those lights on it, check those lights. Make sure the integrity of the wire is good. Make sure all the bulbs and stuff are in place. 3 strands usually is the rule of thumb. I don't want to go more than that. Make sure you keep an eye on it, monitor it, and try and keep yourself safe there.
So should you have a problem and you call 911, I know the tree goes up rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What steps should the family be taking?
Keep the family together. Go out to your meeting place. So today's homes are filled with materials, they burn a lot faster and a lot quicker these days. So if we're to catch a sofa or something next to it, it's going to go up, hit the ceiling, come across. If it starts igniting some of the furniture, that's when you're really going to see some thick, black, nasty smoke. So that heavy black smoke has got a lot of unburned fuel in it, too. So that's not something that you want to be around. Today's materials, all the synthetic materials, it's kind of like solid plastic, can produce some nasty stuff. So, again, evacuate the residents, go to your meeting place, call 911, stay together as a family unit so we know everyone's accounted for, and let us go in and do our job then and put that fire out.
Phil, what about your cadet program? What's that like?
Yes, so recruitment here, we have a cadet program and an internship program. So our cadet program is for ages 14 to 18, for kids that live in a community that does not have a fire explorer or a cadet program. You're going to do some ride time with us on shift. There's a unit training twice a month. And then that could lead into the next progression, which is the internship, which is for ages 18 to 21. So again, that'll have some weekly ride time, 3-year progression. So year one is more EMS focused, year two fire, and then year three both fire and EMS. In that program, you will obtain your what's called basic operations firefighter and emergency medical technician basic, which is the minimum requirements for a firefighter.
Okay.
Which also then gives you an opportunity to get hired then part-time with the district. So we do have part-time employees. We have 4 per day. So PPE, personal protective equipment, will be provided. But the tuition is a responsibility of the student. But you're sponsored for the classes by the fire district. So we've had good success with this program. We've had 9 hired part-time, 1 hired full-time since this program started in May of 2018. So we do have a contact person for anyone interested in that program. His name is David Floyle, D. Floyle, F-L-O-Y-E-L, at huntleyfpd.org if you want some more information on our cadet or internship program. But we've had a great success with it. We're trying to get kids interested in this because we've seen dwindling numbers and people want to go into public safety. Our last test, we had 70 people apply. When I was going through the testing process for Huntley in 2014, I got hired. So like 300 plus, 300, 400.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're trying to engage the youth to try and get them interested in the fire service. It's a great career with great benefits, and you're doing a great service to the community. So we're trying to get some interest in that.
Sure.
Get some more kids coming our way.
And Phil, before we sign off, what's the Huntley website, the fire department website to go to and phone number?
Yeah, any more information, you can visit huntleyfpd.org, and our main number is 847-669-5066.
Let's do that one more time for everybody, Phil.
Sure, I'd love you to visit huntleyfpd.org, and phone number 847-669-5066.
And that concludes our show today, everybody. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. For more information, go to huntleyradio.com, click on Contact Us. We'll be happy to get back to you with more information. In the meantime, have a great day, everybody, and thank you for listening.